Thank you, Sudhir, and it's a great pleasure to be here, and I hope to spend the next 20 minutes just giving you my impressions of the lay of the land and how the business looks like and, you know, how we see the future. I think the last year has been a good year for us. As you know, when we went public on the Nasdaq in March of 1999, the year ending March 31st, 1999, we had revenues of $121 million. And by March of 2004, our revenues crossed $1 billion, so we grew eight times in those 5 years through the very difficult and tumultuous boom and bust. And we are on track this year to close, as Mr. Muthi mentioned, at around $2.14 billion, which means we'll have doubled from $1 billion in 2004 to over $2 billion in 2006. And across Infosys Group today, we have 46,000 employees across all our group companies, and we are on target to do what we said we'll do. I think for a long time, we have been arguing that what we represent is a new business model. What we have done is really leverage the power of global delivery, leverage the high-quality talent we have in India and other places, use modern technology and communications, use the latest practices in processes and systems to build a whole new business platform for delivering high-quality IT services. We believe that this model is a genuine business innovation. It is as big a business innovation as Google is to classified ads. We believe that what we have done is brought in a faster, cheaper, better way of delivering IT services. And therefore, what we do is essentially an element of substitution in the global IT services arena. In the last 40 years, the U.S. companies have spent an increasingly larger part of their expenditure on technology. Technology spending in the U.S. has always outstripped GDP growth from 1960 to 2000. And for many corporations today, the bulk of the capital spending is related to technology. And there are many, many firms today who spend billions of dollars on technology. However, when you go around the world and meet CEOs and other people in the boardroom, there's a fair amount of unhappiness that they haven't really got what was promised. That very often they end up spending too much money. Very often they don't get the outcomes they want. Very often the technology spending is not aligned with business goals. And very often they spend more money on maintaining what they have than on developing new software or new applications for the business. I think the market was therefore looking for a solution which offered a cheaper, faster, better way of doing things, because all over the world, people don't want to increase their spending on technology. But even as their complexity of the business is going up, they want to get more value from the money they spend on technology. And therefore, I think our message has played very well in this audience. And the simple fact that the last 5 years, the global IT service industry has grown at about 5% per annum CAGR, whereas we have grown at 45% per annum CAGR, I think gives you a sense of the impact of what we are doing. I think what is now really becoming apparent is that our model is now universally accepted. There is no CEO on the planet who has not heard of Infosys or not heard of our business model. Therefore, we have very good access across the world to all the large boardrooms and corporates. And everywhere there's an understanding that this is a model that has arrived, this is a model that is superior. And Infosys, in a sense, is the proxy for that. Infosys is at the spearheading that is really the symbol, the paradigm of what is happening in the marketplace. And I think that's playing eminently in our favor. We believe that this has caused pressure on the competition. For many years, our model was not appreciated by competition. It was dismissed or treated as some low-cost thing happening in India. It was never seen as something that could be fundamentally threatening. But as you have seen in the last 1 or 2 years, increasingly global legacy companies, which have essentially done in a different model, which is the high-cost local model, are beginning to realize that this has a huge impact on the business and are increasingly beginning to try to change their model to become like us. Our vision is really that the end game in what we are doing is what we call as the next generation IT services company. In the next generation IT services company, you have the best of both worlds. On the one hand, you have excellence in execution, which is what we have been famous for two decades. It's about delivering high quality at low prices, predictable, reliable, you know, on budget, on time, every time. And that's the model that we've perfected. But that's one part of the equation. You need to marry excellence in execution with high quality business solutions. Because ultimately, it's about applying technology to make businesses more productive, more efficient, more profitable, more competitive. And therefore, the next generation IT services company, we believe, combines the best of global execution with the best of business consulting and solutions. And that's really what the Holy Grail is all about. Everything that we're doing at Infosys is to go towards that. Our investment in Infosys Consulting, our investment in Progeon, our investment in new services like enterprise solutions, testing, infrastructure, SI, and many others are all examples of how we are broadening our service offerings so that we can offer the best of both worlds. Offer consulting as well as offer excellent execution that goes with consulting. And the fact is, because of our investment in these new services, today 40% of our revenue is coming from services we introduced in the last 5 years. Now this holy grail is not being chased by us alone. It's being chased also by the legacy players. But the legacy players have a fundamental problem, which is how do you change? See, our challenge is actually a positive challenge. It's while we are growing, it's about adding capabilities, adding high quality people, adding a brand, adding solutions, making a difference. It's a positive, morale boosting kind of activity. For the legacy players, while they have the relationships and the business knowledge, they need to completely redesign and re-architect their inside. They need to completely flatten themselves and relocate and make themselves a truly global delivery model. What that means is large-scale relocation of employees, which has its own consequences and traumatic implications. It's about changing the way they work. It's about defining the relationships between offshore and on-site. It's about turf issues. It's about incentives. It's about a whole host of internal problematic issues. And therefore, our view is that fundamentally the organic approach or the growth approach that we have to create this company, which we say is the Holy Grail, the next generation IT service company, is the other guys are approaching it from the other side, and we think the consequences and the challenges for them are far more, and we are seeing some of that in the market. The other thing which is happening is that I think what we are doing in effect is creating a global compression of IT services pricing. This is very important to understand. Because we are delivering a superior value proposition at a lower price, and because this is now, and the price discovery mechanism is fully in place so that everybody knows about this, even if we don't get the business, the expectation is that our global legacy competitors will also have to sell at our prices and give the same value. And therefore, in effect, it's not just the business that Infosys gets from this marketplace, which is certainly an important thing, but also I think it has the impact of creating a whole new dimension of impacting and compressing prices in this industry. And therefore, you can understand what will happen if there's price compression when your cost structure is still the legacy cost structure. And you're seeing a lot of that happening in the marketplace, and a lot of the performance of companies or lack of performance of companies is linked to this fundamental strategic thing that's happening out there. So I think strategically, we are at the right place at the right time. We have been saying this for many years now, but I think now there is widespread appreciation and understanding of what we have been saying. It's now accepted universally by customers, by investors, by thought leaders. And I think that in the next 2 years, you're going to see this whole thing playing out. The next thing is, I think, how Infosys has built the brand and the market access. You know, for many years we have been saying that it's all about building our own brand. We are not an electronic manufacturing company at the bottom of a production food chain. We are an independent company which has direct access to 400 of the world's largest companies, where everyone in those companies knows Infosys as a brand. And we took the decision a long time back that we didn't want to be a subcontractor, we didn't want to be part of some food chain, we wanted to build our own brand, we wanted to build our own client access, we want to build our own relationships. And while that has been a long and tough process, we are now harnessing and reaping the benefits of that investment. And today, Infosys is truly seen as an international brand. Everywhere I go, everywhere I meet a lot of very eminent people, top business leaders, and they all have heard about us, they appreciate what we have done, and are willing to have a conversation with us. And I think, therefore, the branding and creating that position that we have done in this new world, I think has been an important strategic decision which is now beginning to pay its dividends. The other dimension is, how do we build a company for scale? You know, just to give you some ideas, and, you know, Murthy mentioned some of that, we are at 46,000 employees at the end of the last quarter. This year alone, we are going to add, on a gross basis, 20,200 employees. To arrive at these 20,200 employees, we are going to look at 1.4 million applicants. When we hire these people, we hire them in batches of, say, 5,000 each. We train 5,000 people at one time. We have a campus in a city called Mysore, which is probably the world's largest corporate university, which can train 5,000 people at one time on a residential basis. At any given point, we are building millions of square feet of office space in a matter of months. This year, we will be giving 600,000 person days of training to our people. So, you know, I'm just giving you these numbers because it's important to understand that right from day one, we have looked at how to scale up this operation. How do you recruit high quality talent in large numbers? How do you make sure they go through the same intensive training? How do you make sure that when they work on projects, they do the projects in the same way? We do that by having a global process engine where we have captured all the processes and systems and methodologies that we use, and it's all very transparent so that anybody who joins the firm, whether it's in Boston or Bangalore or Belgrade or wherever, does it in the same way. So behind all this, behind this rapid growth, behind all this is really what we believe is a global process platform, a global process engine, which knows how to find the best people, recruit them, train them, deploy them, and structure the organization in a way that we continue to give very good service. In fact, this year, even as we grew at 34%, our customer satisfaction has gone up. And that, let me tell you, is not easy, because when you grow at this rate, when you hire thousands of people, you run the risk that somewhere at the edge, your quality is suffering. But because of our huge methodical focus on systems, on process, on technology, on training, on orientation, on culture, the whole gamut of things that we do to make the engine work very well, we believe that we have been able to achieve this combination of creating scale as well as maintaining quality. And that's a very important part of the game. Now, our scalability is not limited to just people or infrastructure. We are also getting scalability in our projects. We're doing thousands of projects, and we have the management systems and the tools to manage thousands of projects and ensure that, you know, they're all happening on time, on budget, on quality. We have scalability, as I said, by adding new services, and we expect these services to grow. We are finding great traction on a consulting side. Today we have 25 customers on the consulting side. People are getting our message that you should be able to get the best of both worlds from us. Today, between Infosys Consulting and our ES practice, we have over 2,000 consultants. On the BPO side, we are having tremendous traction. We took a decision a long time back when the BPO firm was set up that being in the BPO business is not about managing call centers. You know, we leave that for somebody else to do. The BPO business for us, for an IT company, is to be in the space of business transactions. Because ultimately, customer benefit comes from marrying technology to business transactions. And therefore, the work we do, whether it's processing sales orders or accounts payable or settlements or financial transactions, is all about transactional BPO. And this is a decision we took 3 years back when we set up Progeon, and that decision is now proving to be the right decision. So that's growing very rapidly. This year, we expect it to grow something like 100%. We have found all our new services doing very well, whether it's enterprise solutions. Today, we are one of the world's biggest implementers of Oracle, SAP, and all these projects. New services like infrastructure management, systems integration, testing, all these things are resonating very well with the customer. So we have also got scalability in the services that we offer. Another dimension of scalability which has helped us in the last 2 to 3 years is verticalizing the organization. Increasingly, we have a requirement that our customers expect us to have a much deeper domain and business knowledge. So in the last couple of years, we have verticalized, certainly in the U.S., where we have verticals for banking and capital markets. In fact, Mr. Ashok Vemuri is here, who heads that. We are verticalized into Europe. B.G. Srinivas is here. He'll talk to you about what's happening in Europe. We're verticalized into retail, into insurance, healthcare, and life sciences, and transportation, energy, and so on and so forth. So the idea of this verticalization has been that we have not only smaller groups from a management perspective, but we also are encouraging these groups to have their plans and drive solutions, drive domain knowledge, and drive capability that is unique to the vertical industry that they belong to. Today we have 1,300 people who have been certified with some domain knowledge. That means they've gone out there and got a LOMA certification for life insurance, or some other certification for accounting, or a third certification for retail. So there's a systematic program under the leadership of Shibu to really dramatically improve the capabilities of our people, capabilities in domain knowledge, capabilities in horizontal activities like quality and project management, capabilities in technology like .NET and Java. So there's a systematic program to upgrade the capabilities of our people in tune with the demands of the marketplace. And this, again, I think is a very, very important, sort of hidden thing that's happening in the firm, which is helping us to morph our revenues and to become different. And then there's a whole investment we are doing on the client side. We realize that ultimately growing the business is about getting a larger share of wallet. It's about really making our accounts grow. We have many, many programs. We have programs to grow accounts into $50 million accounts. We have programs to take them even larger than that. We have this whole large account management plan. We have a program to specifically address the kind of people and the capabilities who are there in a particular individual account. We have programs to look at how to build multi-layer relationships in our account so that we de-risk the account as well as get access to more decision makers. So for every account, we have a detailed account plan and account strategy on how we're going to go up the value chain, how we're going to build the relationships, how we're going to access different geographies of the customer, how we're going to access different business units of the customer, how we're going to offer new services from Infosys to the customer, how we're going to build better, better contacts, how are we going to be more proactive in understanding the business challenges of a customer and so forth. So there's a systematic plan on the client side, again led by Chris, Shibu, Dinesh, and many others. And the idea is that we want to really see what does it take to take the company forward? What do we need to take, many more accounts to be large? Today we have 192 customers who generate more than $1 million of revenue. What do we need to do to increase that size of those increase the number of customers? And what do we need to do in each customer to increase the size of the relationship? So there's a whole focus on customers and account management, which I think has also been one of the reasons why we've been able to show superior growth compared to a lot of other firms. At the same time, our customers are expecting us to come to the market with what is our view of the future. And it's very clear that they are looking at us increasingly as an agent of their transformation. Our customers are beset with many challenges of stagnant prices, rising costs, globalization, global competition, regulatory pressures, whether it's the Sarbanes-Oxley or whether it's the Anti-Money Laundering Act or whatever. So they're under tremendous pressure, and they're looking for trusted mission-critical, capable, advisory, strategic partners whom they can work with over periods of time. And this is where I think our message that we can be a player in the transformation, a message that we are conceptualizing in our consulting and in all our areas, and I think this message is beginning to resonate with our customers, and I believe that it's really going to make a big difference to the way they think. And I think you're going to see a lot more activity in the kind of work we do, which is consulting-led or transformation-led. So that's, again, another part of what we're doing. So I think to summarize, let me just say that the company has had an excellent track record. We have grown from $121 million to $1 billion by 2004, plans to cross $2 billion. We have taken a point of view that this is a disruptive business model, that this is a genuine business innovation. This is a cheaper, faster, better way of doing something that was done in a high-cost manner, and therefore, in effect, we are the substitution player in the global economy, and therefore, that's why you're seeing a growth rate of 45% compounded as opposed to 5% for our legacy competitors. We believe that we have done a great deal to build a brand, to build a positioning, to make sure that Infosys is widely known. We've done a great deal to build direct relationships with our clients so that we have access to the decision makers. We have built a model of scalability in terms of our people, scalability in terms of our infrastructure, scalability in terms of our processes, scalability in terms of our organization structure, scalability in terms of the number of services that we offer, scalability in terms of account management, scalability in terms of multiple locations. There's a whole set of things we have looked at which has enabled us to scale. And I think, therefore, our challenges are really internal, in the sense, from a market strategic position point of view, I think we are really in the right place at the right time. I mean, you can't ask for a sweeter spot than what we have. Our challenge is really, how do we continue to scale up? How do we go up from 46,000 people to whatever is the next number of people? How do you add 20,000 people in a year? How do you make sure that your organization can absorb so much of talent? How do you make sure that the culture is preserved? How do you make sure that quality is preserved? How do you make sure that customer satisfaction continues to be good? So there's a whole host of issues that we have on scalability, and all of us and our senior management is relentlessly focused on making sure that we have the right scalability and de-risking built into every part of our business. The other challenge that we have is, how do we continue to differentiate? How do we differentiate by strengthening our brand? How do we differentiate by strengthening our consulting capability? How do we differentiate by better solutions? How do we differentiate by our intellectual capital and our solutions and our sort of reuse of knowledge? How do we differentiate by really making the people who are meeting the customer seen much more as trusted partners? How do we differentiate by becoming even stronger at domain knowledge? So there's a whole host of things we have to do on the differentiation side. So we see our twin challenges today of, how do we continue to scale up the business so that we get the growth, we get the revenue, and we make sure we don't miss any steps in scaling up. And the second part of our challenge is, how do we continue to differentiate ourselves and make the right kind of investments in what is required to make ourselves different? And we have to do both these things in tandem, because you can't segregate one from the other. And therefore, I think that's the big challenge that we have, is how do we combine scale and how do we combine with differentiation. And to do all this, I believe that we have a lot of internal management processes and tools which enable us to do that in a reasonably proper way. We have three cycles of planning at Infosys. We plan in the short term, we plan at the quarter and, you know, up to four quarters ahead. And this is what we call as the operational planning process, which is all about making sure it's a supply chain issue, making sure the right people are there with the right skills at the right time to service the right customers in the right location. And therefore, it's really a sophisticated global supply chain management kind of issue, making sure there are enough seats for people to sit, enough technology has been ordered, that, you know, enough training days have been planned, and so on and so forth. So, and that's linked to the forecasting of revenues and margins and guidance that we give you and so forth. So we have this 1 quarter to 4 quarters operational planning cycle. That's the short end of our planning cycle. At the long end of our planning cycle, we do what we call as 5-year scenario planning, which is, we look at where the world will be 5 years hence. You know, what is the nature of competition that is going to be there 5 years from now? What is going to be the impact of offshoring backlash? What is the impact of the rupee becoming stronger? What is the impact of some new innovation in technology coming that makes what we do redundant? And so on and so forth. It's really basically a 5-year what-if analysis of what could potentially go wrong. And every year, we recheck these assumptions. Every year we sit down and say, last year when we did a planning cycle, these were the assumptions that we had about the future. Are these assumptions still valid, or has something changed in the external environment which leads us to believe that our assumptions are different? So we retest these assumptions every year, which is a 5-year thing. And then between the short-term operations planning cycle and the 5-year scenario planning, we have the 3-year business planning cycle. And that's to do with making sure that all our business units and all our business enabling units, that are the support functions, all have a 3-year view of where they're going to take their group. For example, if you have BG or Ashok who is running a business unit, they have a 3-year plan saying, in 3 years, these are the revenues we plan to have, this is the kind of mix of solutions we plan to offer, this is the kind of thought leadership we plan to do, these are the kind of customers we want to have, and so on and so forth. So basically, having a short-term planning cycle for operational purposes, for operational excellence, having a 5-year planning cycle for scenario planning and assumption ratification, and having a three-year planning cycle to drive the strategic intent of the corporation is really finely ingrained in the firm. And this, combined with tools like the Malcolm Baldrige framework and using things like balance scorecards, are actually the nuts and bolts of really making this whole machine, this whole engine, go in the right direction with a high level of probability of success that we will get where we want to. So I think, let me wrap up now, because I think it's time to wrap up. But fundamentally, I wanted to give you a sense of where we are. I think strategically, very well placed. The engine is moving, as you said, focusing on scale and differentiation, focusing on building the brand, focusing on growth, and making sure that we deliver on all our promises. Thank you very much.